Good morning, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Dropping the Gloves. We got my old teammate here. I played a million years ago, but I played for a lot of teams, so I got a lot of teammates. This was one of the, you know, one of the guys you could tell, Nikki, when you came into the team, I was like, this guy's going to A, take my job, and B, have a long career. And fast forward 12 years, you've played in 700 plus games. You've been on a bunch of teams, which is a good thing for a guy of our ilk. And now you're a Stanley Cup champion. So, Nikki DeLaurier, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Thanks for having me, my man. Miss you.
Oh, yes. Stop it. Stop it. But so when I say all those, that intro, that's nuts, eh? Like 12 years, 700 plus games, full vested pension, by the way. I think now 10 full years. So you're set for life. You've made a ton of money all from playing hockey. Isn't that insane?
I never thought I was going to be that kind of player, first of all. And like you said, I came to take your job, but I wasn't. I wasn't that at all at the start, you know, started as an offensive defenseman and, you know, never had a chance in LA. That's the first thing. And, you know, got traded to Buffalo and they put me up front right away. So I think that was the first thing that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. Like, obviously, looking at you and Konopka and obviously Moose as well was kind of doing it a little bit. Kind of formed me in that path that if I wanted to stay, I had to be that type of player. And you know, it took me a couple of years to kind of get the mindset to it. I knew I had the attribute to do it, but it's something different doing it and wanting it to. And I don't know, I forged myself into that and now I'm still going.
You were a D-man in LA. I didn't know that.
Yeah, drafted as a D-man, third round, played my two and a half year pro in Nash as a D-man and, you know, was able to forge myself as a fourth line. I wish I was still a D-man. I would probably make more money. But
I said that forever, too, because I was a D-man my first 3 years in the NHL. And then I got switched to forward in Chicago. So did they tell you when you land in Buffalo, when you hit the locker room? I think our GM was it Terry Murray or who was that?
Terry Murray. Yeah. So I think the half of the year there in Manch, I think I ended up with like 18 goals before trade deadline. But I was playing kind of second line forward, power play PK on D. And I guess Terry came and saw me play one game up front and he loved me and got the trade. And when I got the call, he said right away, saw you play one game up front. I want you up front. So that's how it became the being a forward.
And then fast forward to now, you went from obviously it takes a while to transition, right? Because your whole mentality is a D-man. Even if you were offensive minded D-man, it's tough on the forecheck. It's tough taking pucks to the net out of the corner. It's tough like switching your D mindset. It took me, I never really learned how.
I'm still struggling with that, I'll be honest with you. I think it's more of the defensive side that we still have in our DNA. I'll release the puck behind the net before trying attacking it and making turnover maybe. But no, it was a big transition. I think it helps me a little bit on the forecheck. As a D-man, I knew you wanted to do the little shimmy shake. So it helps you, but at the same time, you stay more on the defensive side. I think that's maybe why us as old D-men don't score 50 goals a year.
Well, and then, but it also protects you because you're never minus a million. I'm looking at your stats. Pretty decent.
Don't look at the one in Buffalo, though. That was a tough one.
everybody that year. We got minus 24, Nikki. That's incredible. Yeah.
But I think Risto, we talked about it when I was in Philly with Ristolainen. You remember Risto was like,
oh, yeah.
I think I won the green jacket 3 years in a row. I was like, yeah, we had some tough times down there.
I'm looking at it now. He was minus 32. Oh, that's bad. Those were the bad years of Buffalo. But I want to just talk about when you came there. Like you walked in and you're obviously physically your presence. You're a taller guy, stocky, long arms. That's what I first noticed on you. Like monkey arms. But you didn't have that killer mentality. You were just kind of like fast, super fast, in on the forecheck, would blow guys up. But then when it came down to brass tacks, me and Z-Man would come in. And I was, you know, wrestling for my job. So I was like, I'll take care of everything.
Yeah.
Now you are, it's you, it's Olivier, it's you and Olivier, basically in my books, is number one and two in the whole league. How do you go from that kid in Buffalo who just didn't look for that sort of thing to now everybody looks to you as, you know, you're the bar, you and Olivia are the other two guys in the league who are the two heavies.
I would say that the first year in Buffalo, not the half year after the trade deadline, the first year, obviously finishing my hits and everything, I started fighting a little bit more. You know, I had to fight Tanner Glass, Brendan Pruss, obviously more technical guy there, and kind of did okay and saw that, you know, doing it kind of helps. It was kind of more of a momentum swing and things like that that I learned throughout, I would say, my first 4 years there of, okay, now I'm just fighting for fighting, but there is times to do it. And yeah. I was still not the greatest at it. I got some punches right off the kisser a couple times because you kind of just try to do it. And you remember those kind of good ones that you fought somebody that's kind of heavier or has been doing this. And you're like, okay, I can maybe compete. And, you know, then I just became a guy that, you know, I was looking at videos, tendency of guys, and, you know, kind of got stronger, obviously grew in my body a little bit more. And, you know, I think it just helped me to stay in the NHL for sure. But at the same time, to, you know, I ain't scared of nobody. That's the first thing. I will say it now and will say it forever. I don't think I'm the toughest guy in the league. I just don't care. You know, I need to do it for the guys, and that's what kept me in the league.
Yeah, I was showing the girls. They're here in my office. They're like, who are you talking to lately? And I was like, I Googled imaged your face. And they're like, ooh, look at it. He's got bruise. Whoa. My God. Every picture is you. It's just bruised, bloodied, cut. And it just, yeah, even your player card on like a hockey DB is just you with a huge shiner. And it just, it's funny because I never got hit. Like I did not like getting hit. It was not something I enjoyed. And I'm not saying you enjoy it, but man, you go in there and you don't have any fear. Like it's plain to see, and it's refreshing because nowadays nobody likes to get hit ever, but it seems like it's a very defensive style. And yeah, I like watching you go at it because
there's a lot of different fighters out there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you want to protect yourself, but you know, to this day, I never really took lessons about it.
No kidding.
Just came into it. You know, it's, you know how to turn the wrist a little bit for the thumb down and things like that when you throw a punch. But you know, it's more of, for me, was, you know, my grip strength was the thing that I needed to work the most. And, you know, having a core that's solid so you don't spin around too much. And, but still to this day, I don't go do boxing. I think it's a switch I have that I just, when it happens, it happens.
No, your wires crossed because it looks like you're a completely different person. And it's funny because you got four kids. You're like a super nice guy off the ice. You were just talking before the show. You take your kids to cheer class and this and that. You're probably front row cheering on them. You probably know all the routines and you're practicing with them. Hey, right, Nicky? You know all the routines.
I say it a lot. My wife's the foundation of this relationship. She carries everybody, you know, especially these next year or two with me signing back in Carolina. You know, we're so stabilized here at home that, you know, I'm going to go down there by myself and do my business, and they're going to come down when they have time. But yeah, cheer is I would say 80% of our life, and the rest is soccer for my son. And I don't have a percentage in there, so that's fine.
You just make sure the lights stay on and they can get to the camps, and that's all you got to do. That's your job. But it's a beautiful job. And you just signed a 2-year ticket with Carolina. I want to know that because, you know, everybody loves a champion, right? And it's a copycat league. And typically when a Stanley Cup champion wins, the roster gets just pillaged. Mm-hmm. Everybody else just wants those guys because they just won. That didn't happen this year in Carolina. Obviously, Freddie left. That was a big one. But you got Bussy, you got Kochetkov, you got some goalies there. Why does everybody want to stay in Carolina? What, I'm sure you had lots of offers. You're 35. You still got lots in the tank. What was that process? Why did you want to stay in Carolina?
I didn't get any offers. We did it just before this.
Excuse me. Smart.
Yeah. No, it was the main thing is, like you said, I've done a couple teams. I've always been kind of on rebuild teams, which I think at one point helps my career. You know, I was the older guy in Philly. You know, I think they did a great step last year. But going there was just something different about that group, you know, an older group, a mature group. And obviously they've been through this for the past 8 years, trying to get over the hump. And
long time, yeah.
You know, just being part of that. But Rod Brind'Amour is an unbelievable human being. I think he can still play. First of all, he works out twice a day. It's insane. But you know, the, and obviously I didn't play much, but you know, I had meetings with him on a daily basis every other day about me being ready, that whatever I do off the ice is helping us on the ice and things like that. So I felt really, I felt like I had such a big role without being dressed every time. And, you know, it just made me, you know, obviously like your dreams to play one game in the NHL. That was my first ever dream from where I'm from. And then staying in the NHL is something else. I had some ups and downs. I had to go play in the American League for two more weeks before the trade of Montreal. Staying in it is hard. You know, these young guys are pushing, the league's changing. And then obviously trying to win is the aspect of our life. And when I was able to kind of do all these things, not without producing, but doing my thing that I do off the ice and on the ice, being a practice player, I had a good meeting with Tolsky and I said, I would pay to play for you again. That was my main thing. And I just didn't want to leave from there, and came to a conclusion that, you know, they didn't want me to go to free agency. I don't know if I would have got a lot of offers. I think I still have something in the tank, like you said, but when they came up with that, I asked for 1 year, they gave me two, and, you know, the team's the same. You know, it's kind of like you said, everybody wants everybody after that, but we have everybody locked in. And, you know, that was my main thing with him. I said, I would do what I did for you guys for the last 3 months. I'd do it again. And
yeah, it's funny. I watched obviously the Cup finals and all the games and stuff, but I really key in on when you guys get the Cup and you get presented with the Cup. You were one of the first guys, Nicky, to get handed the Cup. And I was just watching the interaction with the players. And now it makes sense, because like Rod kept you in the mix and he kept you with the guys. When I was with the Rangers, Torts, I was on, you know, some island in the middle of nowhere, because he didn't want the Black Aces or the Healthy Scratches being near the guys. And like, why? And he didn't make me feel part of the team. That's great. Hard, that's why everybody loves
hard.
Ron.
That's hard mentally. I think that's
it's
why.
It's impossible.
I think it's the worst. I don't even share that to, like, I wouldn't even want that for the worst enemy.
Yeah.
It's you get in your own head when that happens. I think that's why this whole situation was, I was kind of like on a cloud, you know. It was like, I was still involved after games. I was sitting with the guys, and like, you know, after game one, I remember that, after game one against Ottawa, when Stalzi fought, he came up to me and he's like, hey, what do you think there? Like, I was so involved with those guys, and I had secret handshakes with everybody after games. I would stay there until the guy, I would sometimes go in the shower with the guys, even if I didn't play, just to be with the guy. I was like, hey, like, good win. But no, it's hard. What you went through, I went through it as well. It's not healthy mentally, and it pushes you out of the team. And I think that's the main thing why I said I wanted to stay there. It's how a one pack is together, even if you're in the lineup or not.
Well, you could tell it when they were handing the Cup round. Like, you were just as much of a part of it as everybody else, even though you got in one game. And it was a big game in Ottawa. You set the tone, you go in, you kind of right the ship, because that series, that was the one series where I said that could have went the other way really quick. You had the double overtime game. You had a couple games that were just in, you know, 50-50. But talk about that, getting in that one game and setting the tone. You go in. Obviously, there was some issues beforehand. You go out. And who did you fight? You fought I'm drawing a blank here.
No, what happened? I tried to fight. It didn't add up.
So what happened? Oh, Hall's hit on Sanderson. There was all this tension. You come in game four. What was that like getting in that game? What were the conversations like?
Well, let's backtrack like 2 days before that. Obviously, at the first round, you had a game, 2 days off, a game, 2 days off, and you travel and things like that. And Ehlers kind of hurt his ankle there. And the day before, he came up to me, he's like, you're going to be in. And they told me, they're like, hey, you might be playing. We're still waiting. And I think because we were up 3-0, I think as Ehler didn't see himself just pushing for that one. And he was actually really hurt, but at the same time, it's a playoff. You know how it is.
Yeah.
And he came up to me the day before. He's like, you're in tomorrow. I don't think I can do it. So kind of like I was able to kind of, but at the same time, I was so dialed in with all my meetings with the coaches, always being ready. And during the whole playoffs, I would take naps. Like if I was playing it then at 5 o'clock, okay, kind of, I'm not in, shut down the brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And You know, I just got in there, and obviously there was a little bit of chaos with the Hall and Sanderson hit, and, you know, like Tkachuk was running around hitting everybody, which I think he's a great player. That's the, his role he had to do. And, you know, I think I wasn't even nervous for that game. It was kind of like, okay, I haven't played a playoff game in 6 years. Played it with Minnesota a long time ago. And I wasn't even nervous at all. It was just more of a, okay, I know what I have to do. And then that hit Klevin on Nikishin was kind of the thing that kind of turned my wires on. And, you know, the shift after, I just went and challenged him at the bench, and then I ended up challenging the coach and the whole scrum. So I ended up playing 3 minutes and 39 seconds with 4 minute PIMs, and we won the game. So I'm happy about that.
And then you're off to the second round, but that's funny. You get the taste of the playoffs. Then obviously you go on. Yeah. And you win the Stanley Cup. And I want to go back and touch on just Rod the Bod, because everybody, and then the team in general, because listen, I'll be honest. I've been one of Carolina's biggest opponents for a while. I said, they don't have that guy. They don't have that superstar. They're never going to win. They had Rantanen for a touch, and then he left. And then you got Gensel, and he left. So coming into this playoff round, I picked Ottawa, Nikki, first round.
Yeah. A lot of people did.
So what was different this year? And I know you weren't on it the prior 7 years, but what were the vibes like in that locker room? Because usually, and you've been around teams, you know what it's like. It's like, okay, here we go again. You know, we're going to get beat. This is it. And, like, and then you just fall into a routine. Why was it different this year? Was it you?
I don't think so. I think the main thing of that, I had an interview when I got in there, and they pretty much said, oh, we never had a guy like you, blah, blah. And I think the main reason that I still see this team going all the way is, okay, yeah, I'm happy I got traded there and everything, but they didn't touch the core of the 60-some games they played together. They got to where they're at all together. They didn't do a blockbuster trade. And I said in interviews, I'm not here to take somebody's spot. I'm here to be ready if I need to. I'll wait until my name's a call upon. But this organization should be proud that they didn't change anybody. They're going with what they did throughout the first three quarters of the year. I don't know if that's what kind of broke the seal there for them. But if you think about it, like you said, Rantanen, Gensel, and all those guys, like, those are massive trades. And this year they didn't. And it's funny enough that, you know, the group that they started with ended up winning with. I think that's what I think I saw, because when I walked in there, that I've always had easy transition going in new teams, but that one was one of the easiest ones I've never been part of. It was like I walked in there and like I was there for 8 years with them.
It's nice to go into that situation. It's a veteran team too. Like when you look at this roster, and it's loaded with guys who kind of are castaways kind of.
Yep.
Like a Ehlers and a Taylor Hall and these guys who are just coming, even a Martinook, and you just kind of vibe together. I don't know. So do you see this? And I don't want to put you on the spot, like, oh, repeat. What are the vibes like going in? Because now, like, you've got the target on your back. I don't know if we probably have talked to the guys, because you've been around doing the cup thing and doing that tour. Now you're the hunted. You're not the hunter anymore. How excited are you for that? Especially you, because you're going to get a lot more ice time. Like, you got 7 games in the regular season. You're going to play 60-70 next year.
No, I think you want that pressure. I think so.
Yeah.
And you look at it that we have the same team. Is it going to be harder than last year? Probably. Like, it never gets easier. That's one thing. But I think that's a group that is so mature that they know. Like, the hump they just went through, I think, was probably really taxing on that organization overall. Yeah. Now, having that is great. But now, looking at the roster that you signed Stankoven and Blake to those deals when they were young, like the team does, it's the same. Like you said, I think Freddie was a big part of that for sure. Bussy played unbelievable. So I think, you know, we're set in stone on everything too. So a repeat, like, obviously you don't want to jinx anything, but why not try?
You know, that's still got $10 million in cap space. Like, it's crazy when I look at your contract situation, how good it is.
Yeah.
Well, before, I want to talk about some fisticuff stuff in a second, but obviously the controversy about your owner putting all his kids on the cup. I myself thought it was fine. I said, you own a team, you can do whatever you want. If you complain about it, go buy a team and win the Stanley Cup, and then you can put whoever you want in the cup. Was there any issues with the players? did you guys ever talk about and say, this is not a big deal? Because I know you're probably around Tom and his family when this, with the celebrations are going on. Is it even an issue?
No. Hey, yeah. they petitioned for me to be on it, so I was really happy about it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so I think I think I missed it by like 4 or 5 games regular season. And, you know, like you said, I can't put myself in his shoes. He owns the team. Yeah. I don't know. To be honest with you, I was just – nobody talked about it at all. I think it's just, how social media is. I can't get involved in those things. Like I said, I think I had a really great talk with Eric Tolsky saying that, you know, it was like a 30-minute talk that about my name on the cup. And at the end, you know, I kind of blocked out and he said, how do you want it spelled? N-I-C or N-I-C? OLAS. So I kind of like blacked out. And then, you know, I think two weeks after, that's when I saw all the media going that, but you know, it didn't bother me at all. So
why would it? I just thought it was funny. Everybody got all up in arms about it. It's his team. He bought the team. He can do what he wants. All right, let's talk about fighting. This is obviously my show's dropping the gloves. And I like to think I taught you a lot of what you know. Nowadays when you do it, there's really a group of like 5 to 10 guys, you know, it's Rempe, it's McDermott, it's you, it's, Olivier, it's, and a couple other guys. So every time you line up, there's a chance, you know, it's going to be an L and you're going into these buildings. It's like, everybody's watching you nowadays. There's no middleweights. There's no guys who fight. Sometimes it's literally heavyweights and kind of nobody else. How is that going into Columbus, going into the Rangers, especially when there was the Rempe mania when he was going nuts, and you got to like settle that down because the fight you had with him was incredible. It was like just a great fight back and forth. What's your mentality now? Because you're the guy and everywhere you go, like when I see Carolina and Columbus, I'm like, I want to see those two guys go at it.
Yeah, no, I think that's where I kind of try to build my career on not being mm-hmm. the tougher guy, but you don't mess around with my players. But trying to set it up, like, you know, I've never been a guy that's kind of high stage. You know, I think a lot of people zoom in on the red line when I'm talking to Jeannot or Olivier and all those things. It's more of you know, if something happens, you know, we're not going to let this game go out of hand. And usually I have agreements with everybody of like, we're not tummy tucking, nothing. It's just like, hey, fucking, if you want one, I'll give you one. And, you know, things like that. Obviously, with Olivier is a little different. You know, we kind of think he's one of the guys that I respect the most. Especially, I think we fought the first time. I think I fought him maybe 5 or 6 times now. And the next, I think it was like a week after, you know, he needed one, but he gave me one. So it's kind of like that little code that we had. That, okay, he gave me one, I'll give him back one. And then I think the next two were just, you know, mutual. And then obviously first game with Carolina, I wanted to make a splash playing Columbus. And, you know, in my head, he's the toughest guy in the league. You know, he's proved himself well. He's a great fighter. He's a great player as well too. He puts up good numbers. And I think we were down 2-0 and I don't think he needed to. I wanted it. And, you know, he understood where my career is at as well. And, you know, new team trying to make a splash, and had a good bout there. And that was, you know, one of the fun ones for me because it kind of broke the seal with all the players and the organization, how I was and how I deal with my things. But preparing for it, I think it doesn't change. When I was younger, I used to like overthink things. Okay, look, you know, I might have to fight. Now it's just, I go on my terms. I go when I want. And, you know, it's kind of knowing, like we talked about the momentum swing. Like sometimes now I know that with Olivier is maybe a little bit different, but if I fight with somebody else that's kind of newer, or not that I don't respect him, but I'll do anything for my team first. If we're up 2-0, there's no reason for me to do something like that. I might try to make him piss off a little bit and maybe take a penalty. Or sometimes I'll just tell him, hey, like if I hit somebody and then jump me and then we'll go or something like that.
Yeah. That's the great thing about being on a good team is because you're not chasing it. And that was the terrible part for me when I played. I was always on kind of not good teams and you'd get down 1 or 2 and then you're just chasing it. And that's all you're thinking about being on a good team. Nicky, you can say no all the time if you wanted to,
because it's gonna be my first year doing it. So I'm usually on the, like the same boat as you. I was always on those teams that I'm Like, I think I had 7 or 8 bouts against McDermott. Like that guy's like strong, long, yeah, everything. But we're down 1-0 or we're up 1-0. He gave me one last week. We're Anaheim, LA. We play 6 times. So it was that was a long year. I think my hand was in one for the whole year. But well,
what's it like? You're going to go into Washington. They're going to have McElrath and Wilson. The Rangers have Rempe. Obviously, Columbus has Olivier. There's a lot of guys in the East. Is there somebody you don't like? Like, I'm going to bring up Rempe because he gets the headlines. He obviously didn't play a bunch last year, but when he came out a couple of years ago, it was all him. And
yeah,
what
he made a splash. Good for him. But at he's one of those kids that, you know, when I think he fought Matt Martin on the outdoor game, his first NHL game, and then that kind of blew up a little bit, and he comes to Philly, and obviously we weren't doing well, and I said, well, I'll give him a shot. And, you know, we had a great fight. And I think the last year, I think I asked him 4 or 5 times, but he had a lot of issues with his hand and everything. So, you know, like at some point, I'm like, I respect him. He came in. I had to do the same part. I didn't go viral like him. But, you know, sometimes you have to go and go as far as you can and see how it goes.
You turned me down years ago. Do you remember that?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think you were in Arizona, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we were down by one. I was like, come on, Nikki, give me one.
That was my first year, I think, full.
Yeah.
And like I told you, I think it took me 2 or 3 years to kind of, okay, now I can do it. But you beside me and poking me with your stick, I was like, nah, I'm good. Thank you.
We were in Buffalo, too. I was like, come on, just Nikki and you. Smart move.
Somebody else was with you. I was
Downey. Steve Downey.
I was getting greased by both of you guys. Oh my god!
Well, you were probably playing with Coletta, so you're one to talk. That line wasn't much better, but
yeah,
it was just.
I think
funny.
I needed Chief McCormick. Where was he? I think he wasn't playing that game.
We had some meatheads back in the day. That's so funny. I want to talk. All right, we'll touch on a couple more things, and I'll let you go. You've been great. Talk about the difference between. I don't want to throw trash at Tortorella, but I played for him. You played for him. What was the issue in Philly? Because you had a decent team. Obviously, he's benching Michkov. Not that there was an issue, but now that you've experienced Rod the Bod, who just does things all the right way, and Torts rubbed me the wrong way with the Rangers. What was the issue in Philly all along? Because you had Tocchet come in after Torts, and you had good teams, and you had issues in the locker room and all these other things. Again, I don't want to put you in a weird spot. Just talk about how nice it is to be around a good environment, you know, because.
Yeah. No, you're talking about two different coaching approaches, that's for sure. You know, Rod's more of, I wouldn't say nothing against Torts. Like, Rod is all about the players. Like, it's sometimes you don't even talk to him as a coach. You know, it's kind of like he looks, I think he has the feeling of like, but like at the same time, he's been with those guys for 8 years. You know, he knew when the guys needed a day off. He knew everything. He knew, okay, this is practice. This is this. With Torts, you know, when I signed in Philly, I had a lot of offers. That was the first time I was going free agency. I could have picked wherever I wanted. And, you know, Torts promised me the moon. You know, it was come to Philly. We need to rebuild this, this culture. You're going to be more than just who you are. You're going to play on the PK and all those things. And you know, I bit hard, you know, and my first year was great. And then it just went completely the opposite. I think our second year, I think we missed the playoffs by 4 or 5 points. But I think towards the end, it was, I think all the older guys were scratched. I think they were trying to build something. So I don't know if it was towards or the organization up top that were trying to build the younger guys to have experience, and we missed the playoffs. And then the year after, it was just same thing as you. You know, I was not part of the team. And, you know, I think my skates were, when we were scratch, I had to skate. And then I couldn't go in the locker room after for getting change or things like that. So it kind of like tossed me out a little bit. And, you know, my third year, I asked for a trade. And, you know, the organization upstairs said, no, what you do off the ice is key for us, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, but I just feel like I'm killing my career. I have another year. I want to prove myself. And this year was kind of similar a little bit. You know, Tox is great. Like, I work out here at the Flyers facility, and we shoot the shit, like, every day. It's fine. Yeah. It's great. And I think when it comes down to that, like, the whole, I would say, me playing, me not playing was kind of like throwing the ball, who's saying it, who's not. So I didn't know if it was upstairs or him. And then, you know, it's, I didn't feel involved. And I asked, I was like, yeah, I need to leave. And, you know, they, to this day, everybody's saying they gave me a favor, but at the same time, you know, I wanted out. And, you know, going to Carolina, it just proves to you that there's so many different ways to approach players that are in our style or that people are not playing. But, you know, the way I just did all my business down there in Carolina was premium, one of the best things I've ever had. I hope that for all the people that try to become like me and you, that, you know, towards the end of the career, you're fighting for a year. You might just play 20 games, you might play 30, but having that involvement off the ice is key.
Well, it's huge. That's where you become part of the team. Like, it's such a unseen factor to everything. And again, I could see it when you were passing the cup around. What number were you? You were like third or fourth, or something?
Something like that. Under 10, I know that.
Like, that's insane. So yeah, when he has the cup and he's passing it to you, do you think it's a mistake? You're like, there's other guys.
Well, I think it's so funny. So it was Will Carrier that just won his second, and he does his the whole lap, and he turns around and he just looks at me and screams at me. I'm like, no, I don't want it. Like, this is way too early for me. He's like, no, for all the shit you did for us.
Yeah. And,
you know, it was special to a French guy and then, you know, now it was my turn to give it to somebody, so I didn't know who to give it to. But, you know, I played with Sean Walker for a full year there, and, you know, kind of like got kicked out. I think that was one of the things too, that we didn't make the playoffs in Philly. He was one of our top defensemen, but they were able to get a first round for him and go to Colorado. So we kind of exchanged that cup for old Philly guys.
That's awesome. Well, now you're in Carolina 2 years. What do you talk to Rod and Tulsi about? Do you talk about roles for next year? Because obviously you signed before free agency, but you could have went somewhere and played a bigger role maybe. But what do they say role-wise this coming year? You're going to go back to defense, be an offensive defenseman, kind of around
the belt? Maybe I can sign another 2 years. No, it was kind of a – obviously, like, the whole parties and everything, it was kind of fluke. That week went so quick. And, you know, I got a call from my agents, like, hey, we got an offer from Carolina. What do you think? I was like, well, I want to stay there. We just won, and we have the same team. And – you know, he's like, okay, like, we'll just work into it. And, you know, they call me back, and then Tulsi calls me about the cup and everything and kind of wants to make something special. And I didn't know what the special was. And then I come back with my agent. He's like, yeah, he wants you to not say to anybody, this is the contract. You have until today to sign it because tomorrow's the parade and they want to do something special. So I was like, what is it? He's like, you'll find out. I was like, well, you can't let me.
Oh, no kidding.
So I'm like, okay, so what do we do? And my agent, we're all like, obviously, like, winning the Stanley Cup and being kind of like part of it. But the main thing was if my name was on it or not. And, you know, they said it was the easiest petition and like it was great. And then my agent's like, hey, do you want to go free agency? Maybe get a couple hundred grand more, or you want your name on the cup and stay there? I was like, well, I want to win again. And this touching this feeling was insane. It's like, well, you have a better chance to do it there again. So that happened. And then I got on the parade. It was me, Rod, the owner, and Tulsi that knew it, that I signed pretty much the morning of. And I was just waiting. I didn't know. And then the whole speech, we do the parade and the whole speech. And then he decides to say it on stage, which was insane. So it's kind of surreal at the same time, and, you know, couldn't be happier.
I didn't see the speech. So Tulsi is talking to how many hundreds of thousands of people? What is he saying?
I think they clocked it at, what, 180 or something like that? And just talking about how the season went and, you know, the old GM speech that they give every time. And then he said, on top of my head, I think he said, like, a lot of people tell me to thank you, but I knew that was kind of the message. I kept telling him, thanks for bringing me here, you know, living all this dream. And he said, we have one free agency, so let's do this contract here and right in front of the stage and just sign there and two more years.
You signed on the stage?
Yeah.
Wow, that's better than the LeBron thing on ESPN.
Well, LeBron got his day though here in Philly, so he's good now.
Oh, that's true. He's in Philly. What a schmuck that guy is. So
no, it was special, and at the same time, it was all their idea. I didn't have a word in it. I didn't even know when it was going to happen. So the deadline of that was pretty much just to kind of put the cherry on top of the sundae there.
That's fantastic. So what an end to your career, man. And not that it's over yet. Like we had Ryan Reeves on the show, I think 4 years ago. And I was talking about him being done. And now look at him. He's still been playing. He's like 38, 39 years old. And I think he's a UFA, but it wouldn't surprise me if he signs. But you'll be 37 when this contract runs out. And you're playing great, man. Like, there's no slowing down for you.
I got a lot of people telling me that, you know, as long as you can go, because you're going to miss it after. It's a kicking the balls after. It's when it's done, it's done. It's hard to come back. And, you know, I think that's the main thing. I had some long conversation with my wife. I was like, do I finish like this?
Yeah. You know,
finish as a winner and that's it? Or do I go for one more? And, you know, we thought about one more and then we're at two and then we'll see how the body holds up. You know, so you have to do it, but you know, you got to stay in shape, work out, and be ready. Those young guys are pushing.
You're making me sad because I had that same conversation when I won the All-Star Game stuff, and my wife won. She's like, we got to retire. And that was it. And I, mind you, I wasn't looking at an NHL contract, I was looking at a two-way deal. Yeah. So it wasn't that as enticing, but
yeah,
she had just had twins and we had four, and I was like, all right, calling it quits. And I might have made the right choice, but now I have the twins beside me and they just fist pumped. They're like, yeah, we got you to retire, Dad. That's so funny.
That's good things, man.
It is good. And I was super happy to see you in the cup, Nicky. Obviously, I saw you as a baby at 22, 21 maybe, and now you're this grown man who's just – it's great to see the way you've progressed, and it's awesome to see you here. I'm very happy for you. Thanks for coming on the show, my friend. This was awesome. And, good luck the next 2 years. Hopefully we can do this again soon. You were fantastic.
Appreciate you, my man.
All right, Nicholas Deslauriers of the Carolina Hurricanes, number 44.
Yes, sir.
Your whole career, number 44.
20 in Montreal.
Yeah. I was number 20 in Montreal. Wait, I think I was.
You don't remember?
No, I played one game in Montreal, the last game of the season. And I think I was number 20. Who cares? But anyways, thanks for coming on, man. Enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir, my man. Thank you.
All right. Cheers, everybody. Thank you for listening.